This is the Yanks Go Yard podcast with Adam Weinrib and Thomas Carinante.
Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Yanks Go Yard podcast. I'm Adam Weinrib alongside Thomas Carinante. The Yanks' first two spring wins are in the books. These count when you win. When you don't, they're a learning experience. We're going to talk about the bats getting in gear. The actual starters beat up on the Orioles on Tuesday. And Elgarry was a little bit scary on Monday, but the more notable things from that game included some lesser-known players that we're kind of excited by. The Yanks also gave us a scare late Monday night with Chad Green and some roster snafus. We're going to go into why this may have ever happened in the first place. And the Yankees scouted Yoenis Cespedes. We're just going to come right out and say, what the hell is that? Why is that happening? Folks, make sure to find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you do get your podcasts. The Yanks Go Yard podcast will absolutely be there. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review along with a mailbag question within that review. If you want your mailbag question answered, if you want us to ignore it, put it in a 1-star review. That's how it goes. Thomas Carinante, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing on this beautiful Wednesday?
Great. Two wins under our belt. They don't count for anything, but they feel good. You want to feel good. That's what it's all about. You don't want to we lose the opener. No one's freaking out, but you have not really many positives to come out of it. Two wins in a row now over the Tigers and Orioles. Again, nothing special, but we're starting to see things wake up a little bit. We're starting to see some guys who might be able to contribute. Starting to see some young guys who might make an impact sometime later in the season. I don't know. I think it's a lot of good stuff to talk about, and we're going to break it down, of course.
The absolute worst thing that happens in spring training is, you know, it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. Yeah. None of this matters. Somebody could go 0-30 and have an all-star season. But when you lose two games in a row in spring training, you start to be like, fuck, man, are we bad? Like, are the people on this team bad? I know it doesn't matter, but we just lost 8-3 to the Marlins. Are we bad? Like, and you do that too. You got to admit you do that too.
I do a lot of things I shouldn't. And yeah, we're gonna try to change it this year. We're gonna try to turn over a new leaf.
I guess we are. Well, we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about. We're more excited than bummed. But first and foremost, support for Yanks Go Yard is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. The Yankees are 27-time World Series champs, and Manscaped is a 28-time manscaping champion. I just made that up, but you know, you never know. You don't know how often that award is giving out. Manscaped hasn't been around for that long. They could have won that many. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and they obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. That is why Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide and 25 men in the Bronx locker room. Once again, have to legally disclaimer, I don't know that the Yankees use Manscaped. I certainly don't know that all 25 men on the roster use Manscaped, but we're making assumptions here, and that's what we like to do on this show. Manscaped hooked us up with a bunch of tools from the Perfect Package 3.0 kit. That includes the Lawnmower 3.0, their third generation trimmer, which features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology that is for shaving your balls. They also give you the Crop Reviver, the Crop Preserver. That'll make you smell good, anti-chafing for the hot summer heat, which, by the way, if we're all being vaccinated by May, we definitely need the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver for those hot summer months in clubs, which we might be in this summer with masks. Please wear your masks. Don't go to Texas. If this intrigues you, get 20% off and free shipping with the code fansided20 at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code fansided20. All of those include the number 20. None of them include the number 25. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. And the balls in Sarasota, Florida were not thankful when the Yankees were at the plate on Tuesday afternoon, facing real major league pitchers like John Means and Paul Fry. The real Yanks, Aaron Judge, you've heard of him. He's a good guy. Luke Voigt, Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier had a ribby single. These guys were knocking the ball all over the yard. We said after the first game that Gleyber and Clint looked particularly locked in, and that you can add Judge to that, who gapped one in the left center field area. Gleyber still looks really confident at the plate. So does Clint Frazier. The pitchers are supposed to be ahead of the hitters. Thus far, the Yankee pitchers are lagging a little bit behind the offense, especially in terms of the people who are going to be making an impact from day one. Gerrit Cole, you know, we talked about Michael King, looked rusty, looked like the same Michael King as ever in his first outing. But we shrugged it off because Michael King is probably the 8th or 9th starter. Well, Gerrit Cole got the start on Monday, looked a lot like he did early in last spring. You know, he faced the Tigers again. He did not give up like eight bombs or whatever he allowed to the Tigers in that start that had everybody questioning his contract. But he didn't look good. He gave up three hits and a run in the first, although they were very unlucky hits. Certainly didn't leave that inning feeling fantastic, though. And a lot of people are making a lot of bad points about Gary Sanchez based on that one inning alone. Jordan Montgomery was a bend don't break on Tuesday, gave up a run in the first on a triple and a sac fly, loaded the bases with one out, then got two Ks. Easy second inning, 1-2-3. Pretty good, not great. Neither man was just absolutely, you know, 1-2-3. See ya, sit up, sit down. Because that's kind of what you want from these pitchers early on when they're supposed to be at least a week or two ahead timing-wise. Jameson Taillon, though, seven-pitch inning in his Yankees debut with a K on a nasty curveball. So I would say the Yankees have gone 1-for-3 in terms of the people who will actually be starting these games when the season begins. I was much more impressed by Taillon, though, than I was bummed out by Cole and Montgomery. That said, I am asking for too much. It is spring training. Who cares? I would like the pitchers to be good from day one. Once it feels like other teams have that, I would like to see that sometime. Sorry for complaining.
It'd make life easier, but you know what? I would love if Gerrit Cole came out and just blew the doors off everybody. He's just trying to get into a groove, probably get the fastballs over, experiment with whatever else, and just find himself. Not that he has any rediscovering to do, but you haven't pitched in a while. Just get over there, get some groove, some balls over the plate, whatever. Three hits, a walk, one earned run. I don't care. If this is happening in April and May, I probably will care. But like you said, Taillon came in right after him. We saw a little video of him shortening his delivery between his time in Pittsburgh and now obviously his arrival in New York. Looks nastier. And that curveball had a lot more of a break to it. You probably saw it all over social media, whiffed him on the outside, low and away, looked great. That's exactly what you want to see from a guy who has, you know, now undergone his second Tommy John surgery, obviously had that battle with testicular cancer. So was happy to see that. But you didn't mention, we actually went 1-for-4 with starter people who might start games because, Julio Chacin actually got a little bit roughed around, but guess what? He's a veteran, you know, he's coming back to spring and he's, like I just said, just trying to groove balls over, trying to figure things out, whatever it may be, get him up to speed. If he's going to be the fifth starter, so be it. I like the veteran experience. I like the fact that he can eat innings. So not a great start. We're not going to cry about it, but that's the way it is. Unfortunately, though, for a guy like Jordan Montgomery, kind of piggybacking off what we're saying about Taillon, it's great to see a guy like Taillon who's dealt with all these issues come out and just fire one scoreless inning and look as good as he did. For Jordan Montgomery, not so much. On Tuesday against the Orioles, two innings pitched, two hits, one run, two walks. I believe all that damage was done in the first inning, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
So he did rebound. However, this is a guy the Yankees will be relying upon. He is the only lefty in this rotation. And on top of that, he still has stuff to prove. He had that great 2017 season, then went down with Tommy John in 2018. Missed all of 2019, I believe, then came back in 2020, looked solid, got us that, gave us that gutsy performance in the playoffs against the Rays, but not a fast start in the spring against the O's. Don't really care. But like I said, it'd be a little bit more comforting if the guys who have these so-called question marks around them were to be able to get out of there unscathed, but I'm not going to worry until it's, you know, later in the month or, you know, we're, into the regular season a little bit more, but the rest of the guys, especially on Tuesday, look pretty good. We had Tyler Lyons get out there. He gave up a run, but he's not really supposed to contribute much anyway.
I can do without him.
Yeah. Luis Garcia came in after Montgomery. And then Brooks, he threw a scoreless frame, two strikeouts. Brooks Kripke came in, scoreless frame. Glenn Otto, Yankees prospect, comes in, scoreless frame. And then the man that John Sterling does not know, Trevor Lane, comes in, finishes off the game, scoreless frame, three strikeouts.
I can't believe Trevor Lane is a different guy. Remember we had Tommy Lane, the Red Sox lefty? There are people that just disappear in baseball. It was like Tommy Lane, like a 3-year cycle of like, oh, he's on the Red Sox, he's pretty good. Oh, the Red Sox dumped him. Why? He's a Yankee now. He's completely out of baseball. But these guys, these guys were all good. I would like to talk about the young kids. I was impressed by a lot of what I saw, and I'm going to harken back to Monday, too, not just because that was the day that hard-hitting Chris Gittens hit a monster exit velo grand slam to left center. It did the thing that good power hitters do, where 3-2, facing a guy who's struggling to find the plate, knows he's getting a fastball. Gary Sanchez showed it's not that easy to hit a fastball center cut when you know it's coming. Chris Gittens knew a fastball on the outer edge was coming, and he took it to another, like a different time zone. What a bomb. So I don't know if Chris Gittens is a 4A guy, if we're going to see him anytime soon, but I know I like checking in on his minor league numbers because the dude can hit and the dude has nasty pop. But perhaps more importantly, and for our immediate future, nice little spring debuts from Austin Wells, 2020's first round pick, who has not appeared in a minor league game yet due to the nastiness of the year 2020. Remember that whole, the famous coronavirus pandemic from the year 2020. Austin Wells, first at bat of the spring, 0-2 pitch, stayed on it, hammered it up the middle for a single. They really like this kid. They have made it abundantly clear that they believe in him and they believe in the bat and somewhat the glove, but it's not one of those absolute clankers behind home plate situations where they're like, we got to get him out of there. It's like, he might be so versatile that he could eventually be a left fielder, a first baseman, a catcher. Like, we don't quite know where he is yet. He's interesting everywhere. He's terrible nowhere, but the bat will play and they love him. So shout out to Austin Wells for getting, you know, getting things rolling, getting a compliment from Rob Brantley, the nicest man alive, who tags every Yankee on his Instagram story. Everybody follow Rob Brantley. This is two episodes in a row I've said this, but the nicest baseball player I've ever seen interacting on social media, arguably the nicest person. And then the sort of from the filed under the strange department, Albert Abreu, who huge year for him. There are rumors floating around he has an extra option to work with. Some sources say he can be sent down to the minors this year. Others say he can't. And I think that confusion comes from the fact that the team doesn't know yet. I think there are arbiters who have to make rulings on this and it's not decided. But what I will say is that Abreu, you know, if he doesn't have an option, is a guy who might be traded along with Mike Tauchman to clear some roster spots. If he does have an option, the Yankees are going to do everything they can to keep him. He averaged about 96 with the fastball last year. Didn't look great in the majors. Has long been a guy they have suspected of being better than he has performed. Has not put it together. In his first spring outing, topped off at 100.4 miles an hour. Threw eight fastballs, averaged 99. In his two big league appearances last year, he averaged 96.4. And keep in mind, you're supposed to be amped up in your big league debut. You're supposed to average a little higher than what you typically hit in a normal start, especially at, he's a starter thrown out of the bullpen. 96.4, if that's what he's hitting at his max effort, that's kind of what you expect. Nope, strides into camp today, hitting 100.4 and averaging 99. So did you like what you see from either of those guys? Are you a believer in Abreu? You know, it's one outing. What are we talking about? I'm not a believer in anyone that I wasn't a believer in yesterday, but I saw something I didn't know was possible.
I'm a believer in somebody who I'll get to in a second, but Abreu, I need an explanation on this. Is the question man out there to answer me? He has no options left, but he's pitched in two career games and they both came last year. What have the Yankees been doing with this guy? I know he was acquired in the Brian McCann trade with the Astros back in 2017. Mm-hmm. But what they're just bringing him up and optioning him three times, and he makes two appearances. Very confused. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really in tune to all the roster moves and the intricacies of it, but I don't know if I've ever seen somebody who's out of options, who's pitched in two, he's pitched 1.1 innings and he may have no options left.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on either.
Nonetheless, I love his projectability as a potential middle relief option, throwing that hard. That's kind of what we're looking for in terms of innings eaters. And he has the stuff, kind of like how we've been talking about with Loaisiga, a guy who has the stuff but can't really put it together. I know Abreu had some accuracy issues or whatever it was, but I would love to see more of this. Guy I was impressed. Oh, well, we didn't even get to the elephant in the room, and that was Chad Green was supposed to pitch.
Oh yeah. Well, can we take a quick break and then do this Chad Green nonsense?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's a big one. And the Yankees can't scare us like this again. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, breaking down the Chad Green situation. Do we care about Gary Sanchez's home run? Take care. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Yankees Go Yard podcast. Not sure why I told you to take care before the break, but I hope you did. Thomas, go ahead and break down the Chad Green situation, because we were all pretty spooked on Monday night.
Yeah, and we had good reason to be, because Marley Overa tweets out the roster for on Monday night. She tweets out the roster for Tuesday and said, and earlier in the 5 hours before she tweeted this, Aaron Boone had said that Chad Green would be following Jordan Montgomery in in Tuesday's game.
He said it out loud. It was like a big focus of his press conference thing. Was Chad Green pitches tomorrow.
Very big thing. It was that he made a thing of it because it was the first back end high leverage reliever that they would be using this spring. Then all of a sudden, Marlo Vera tweets out, "Hey, Aaron Boone said that Chad Green was supposed to be pitching on Tuesday. I have the roster right here. Here it is for you to see. And Chad Green is not on it." So we thought, okay, great. Is this another one of those bullshit vague updates where they're not telling us what's going on and Chad Green is injured or Chad Green's coming on slow or there's some MRI situation we don't know about? So it was the Yankees have to know their audience at this point. You can't just remove somebody from the roster who you came out and said hours before would be playing in the game the next day.
I wouldn't have even thought about it if Aaron Boone hadn't said, "Hey guys, pretty big day tomorrow, by the way." Yeah.
Wouldn't have even been a consideration, but he mentioned it. Then Chad Green's taken off. Apparently it was just a precautionary measure, but the Yankees got another audience at this point. Everybody is triggered by potential injury news. The Clark Schmidt thing had everybody walking on eggshells at the start of spring training. Thankfully we're three games in, no nonsense at this point, but Chad Green had us nervous for a while. I'm sorry, guys. We wrote about it. We felt like it was our responsibility to let you know what was going on. But then some Twitter detectives realized that Miguel Andujar was also removed from the roster, and they had added somebody else. They wanted to get somebody else some reps in there. So really not a big deal at all. But what I wanted to touch on before, you can go back to Green in a second when I'm done with this. The guy who I was impressed with, who I forgot to mention, Nick Nelson. He pitched against the Tigers on Monday, two scoreless, one hit, struck out one, and he introduced the sinker and it looked good. And that's a lot of the chatter. Now, if he can add another pitch to his arsenal, and have it be super effective, I think that's another dangerous bullpen weapon that we're talking about, which great news for me, at least.
People like Nick Nelson. And when I say people, I mean people who aren't involved with the New York Yankees. And that's how you know he's actually good. Like people are coming around talking about Nick Nelson. The Yankees like a lot of people. The Yankees like Albert Abreu. And he comes into Major League games and gets walked off by Pete Alonso immediately. The Yankees have plenty of guys they like. People from other organizations are reportedly asking about Nelson, who has finally unleashed a new pitch. And you got to love it. Update to the update on the Chad Green roster garbage. Eagle Eye scouts noticed Andujar was removed from the roster too. Andujar played today. Andujar went to Sarasota. He went 0-3. Cool. Great. So then what was any of this? A lot of people are talking about this as like the 1 year anniversary of them locking themselves down and realizing coronavirus was real. And a lot of people have been traumatized by that memory of that being 1 year ago. You know what I'm traumatized by the memory of? 1 year ago, about the same length of time when Luis Severino was scratched from a live bullpen. And everybody went, "Oh, what happened to Luis Severino?" And then somebody said, "Relax, guys. It's his birthday. He's scratched because he's hungover." And everyone went, "Oh, man. Okay, that had me worried and is actually very funny." And then an hour later, people said, "Luis Severino is actually going for a precautionary MRI. His arm actually hurts. It's actually hurt since October. Oh, he needs Tommy John, and he also needed it during the playoffs, but he didn't get it. So now he's going to miss 5 extra months. And it's also his birthday, so technically we weren't wrong." So every time the Yankees make a small move, like change a roster or print out a sheet with a different name on it, it's going to prick my antennae up. And guess what? This wasn't a small move because Aaron Boone basically announced the pilot episode of the Chad Green's Pitching Tomorrow show at his media scrum and then silently took him off the roster. So he's bringing him along slowly with the rest of the bullpen pieces. I guess someone took him aside and said, "You might want to reconsider. We don't need the top 5 bullpen guys in game action yet." I don't know why it happened, but I do know that Aaron Boone freaked me out and everyone else out. And it wasn't crying wolf. There's a real reason to be scared here. I was in the middle. I'm a huge North Carolina basketball fan. Let me tell you, and I was in the middle of watching them get absolutely blitzed to death by a guy with one leg in the Syracuse zone. So hitting me with the Chad Green disappeared update at the end of Monday night was exactly what I did not need in my day-to-day life. And I'm glad we got that resolved. But you can't do that, Yankees. This is the most injured team in sports history. You can't do that. You can't just be removing names and moving them in different places. Speaking of people who have disappointed us in the very recent past, we'll do this quick. We're doing this at the same point in the podcast as we did Gary Sanchez put up the worst at bat of the spring training opener on Monday. We want to get it out of the way. We want to just say that did happen. Gary Sanchez is the worst at bat of the opener. Hopefully you've ducked out and you're not listening at this point if you're angry and you're a Gary lover. I love Gary too. We both love Gary. So we'll duck this. in and around the 20-minute mark of this one. Two, Gary Sanchez hit a monster home run, one of the longest home runs you'll see on Monday. 92-mile-an-hour high fastball from Gregory Soto, probably a 4A talent from the Detroit Tigers, but good God almighty, he hit like a... They measured it at around 420 over the batter's eye in center, but that was like a 460-foot home run. And that was the kind of thing Gary was not doing last year against any level of competition. So I ask you real quick, let's get in and get out. Were you impressed by Gary's homer? Is it absolutely nothing to you, or is it the beginning of something?
It is something. It's not a strikeout where he looks completely dumbfounded by 90-mile-an-hour fastball. So I like it. And guess what? He also walked. So he was 1-for-1 that day with a homer and a walk. I know Gregory Soto is nothing special. He has a career 5.36 ERA in 60 games. So and plus he's a lefty. So that kind of is more of an advantage to Gary. Nonetheless, that was a bomb. It went over the whatever that second fence is in center field. It went over the regular fence, and then there was a giant black wall behind it about 50 feet in the air, it looked like.
Yeah, love our stadium. We got big walls out there.
Just another a giant black monster for whatever reason. I like the swing, and then he walked, so it's certainly better than the debut, and you just want to see some sort of consistency where he's not getting into these spells of looking completely confused at the plate or constantly going down on strikes or, you know, not making good contact. So I'm happy to see a home run and a walk. I don't think the bandwagon is in full force right now, but we're hopefully trending in the right direction because we want to see more of this spring.
Oh, it was a great swing. I mean, it's not nothing. It's a monster bomb. David Cohn said on the broadcast, that's why you don't give up on a guy like Gary Sanchez. Of course, that's why the New York Yankees and their monster payroll should have absolutely paid $6.35 million for Gary Sanchez this year. Because you know what? If you were worried that would mean they would be eternally loyal to him and wouldn't be willing to change course if he showed up out of shape or if he struggled or if it's 2 months into the season and he looks bad, they benched him in the playoffs last year. They have the cojones to dump Gary Sanchez if need be. And they can also afford, you know, under $6.5 million for someone who with that power. And this was the second best swing I've seen him take in a calendar year. The Drew Smith Grand Slam in extra innings against the Mets is the only one I would rank up by it. Maybe
I like
the one
that
over
homer
the monster.
Against Fenway. Yeah, that was
yeah.
That
maybe
was
the one over the monster too. He probably had two impressive moments last year and a bunch of shrugs and then a bunch of angry faces. And this was a really, really impressive homer to dead central, and it was no doubt off the bat, Chris Gittens level power from Gary Sanchez. So we'll do a segment right in the back end here. The not going to happen corner. This is just, we have to talk about it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all. And it would make no sense if it happened. We're burying all this stuff at the end. So if you want to hear the happy recaps and us getting nervous because Garrett Cole gave up a run in a spring training game, listen to the beginning. If you want to hear us talk about the dumbest news stories of the week, things that have to be touched on briefly, you can come to the back of the podcast. We'll welcome you in the back of the podcast. So here we are. The New York Yankees were among 11 teams that scouted Yoenis Cespedes on Tuesday in a batting practice and fielding free-for-all session. One evaluator said he can still hit. He's incredibly stiff in the field. He'll be somebody's DH. Does that sound like somebody the New York Yankees should sign, who already have an overload of outfield bats and certainly have Giancarlo Stanton at DH? Thomas Garinante, you want to give Yoenis Cespedes some money?
No, it's not somebody you signed, but
no.
The guy's played in what, 127 games since the start of 2017. He missed all of 2019. Yeah, it's good. He fell in a hole. He's completely screwed the Mets over on that contract.
He fell in two holes.
Yeah, he fell in double hole.
I think he fell in a hole, tried to move out of the hole, tripped into another hole and hurt both angles. Both angles got busted. I don't know.
Ridiculous stuff. Like this only would happen to the Mets or someone like the Jets too. It's very circumstantial.
Should the Jets sign Yoenis Cespedes?
Trade Sam Darnold, sign Yo. Dude, Yo could probably throw the football fucking 80 yards.
You know Jets fans would talk themselves into, actually, you know what? We got people say Cespedes is showing up in preseason. He looks good. Cut to week one. He's terrible. Why do we let people tell us he was good? He's all bad.
That's fitting for the Mets Jets crew.
The gyms.
Yeah. But you want to hear a weird scenario that I thought of in my head?
Obviously I do. Why would I say no to that?
They scouted him for precautionary reasons because they don't know probably what's going to happen on the injury front. I'm not even knocking on wood at this point. I'm banging my head through structures that are made of wood.
That's how Cespedes has got hurt. Yeah.
Every time there's an opportunity to take one of the starters out in these spring games, give them a couple of bats, pull them. I don't want to see anybody in the later innings. Give the younger guys whatever. If somebody needs a rest, just give it. I don't need to see any more injuries. But in the event the injury bug happens again, and it typically happens in the outfield, I'm not going to name any names, but you have the injury bug with those potential people. And if one of those were to happen, and then we have these Talkman trade rumors of sorts. Ken Rosenthal spoke about it the other day about how there might not be enough room for him, and the Yankees might want to move him. The Yankees, if there is an injury or if there's some other issue, maybe they trade Talkman for an arm and then they bring in or a prospect. I don't agree with that. Let's get that out of the way. I don't think that they should do that, but in the event they trade him for an arm or a prospect and there's some injury issues in the outfield, you bring in Yoenis Cespedes. Maybe his power is still there. You know, his defense isn't great, but he's got a cannon. So maybe he produces in the power department for you on a short stint while someone's recovering from an injury. It's not going to happen, but that's the only scenario I can see in my head as to why the Yankees would do their due diligence and send somebody to his showcase or whatever it was. So that's my little scenario that better not happen. It better not happen. It's just something that popped into my head.
The Talkman trade stuff still weirds me out. So much smoke here. I do understand that, you know, you're not going to carry that many bench players. You want more versatility. That explanation makes sense to me. But the people who are saying like, oh, Gardner and Talkman together, I mean, that is such a redundant bench. I don't know how you go into the season with that. They went into the season with that in 2019. Was it a redundant bench in 2019? Was it embarrassing for you to have almost four WAR Mike Talkman on the team and Brett Gardner? I don't really know why this is now conventional wisdom that you absolutely can't have five outfielders on the roster. I would love to have Derek Dietrich on the team. I would rather see, and I'm a crazy person. You can tell me I'm a crazy person. It's fine. I would rather see Derek Dietrich, Gardner, Talkman, and Higashioka if we have to go with four. Expunge Tyler Wade from my day-to-day life, and then if they have to call up a backup shortstop, call up a backup shortstop. I don't know. I do hate saying it, but, you know, that was really dumb. Now that that got out of my mouth, that was really stupid, but maybe I'd rather carry five men on the bench. I want Dietrich on the team. I also want Talkman on the team. I don't really want to be trading a fourth outfielder just because Brett Gardner is doing his final season in pinstripes.
Yeah, Talkman has so much value, and I think also you'd be trading him when his value is low. I know that we're not taking, for the most part, we're not taking 2020 seriously, but other executives are using that as leverage. They're like, oh, well, he had a shitty 2020. What do you want me to do? Well, I have my hands tied behind my back. No, you don't. Talkman's a solid player. He proved it in 2019. 2020 was weird for everybody. If somebody had an exceptionally good year, take it with a grain of salt. If somebody had an absolute garbage year, you do the same thing. It's just the way it is. But yeah, I mean, Tyler Wade going 0-3 the other day certainly didn't help his cause.
He's not a baseball player that I like,
but
not.
I know but it's funny because he has the only thing that the Yankees need, and it's defensive versatility and it's effective defensive
versatility.
So that's the it doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter if he bats zero. I think he still has a place it matters for fans, but to the Yankees organization, they're like, I don't care if this guy doesn't get a hit. Like he slots right in. Somebody, you know, you want to give Glaber a day off. You throw him at short. You want to give Gio some time off. You shift LeMahieu to third, move Tyler Wade to second. There's a lot of Voit, same thing. You shift DJ to first. You give Wade some time at second. There's all a lot of these possibilities, and Tyler Wade makes them more of a reality. So he could hit zero for the entire year and it won't matter.
That's the thing. You can't get rid of Tyler Wade. That's how you end up with Luke Voit shortstop. But at the same time, I would prefer my Yankees experience without Tyler Wade necessarily. I wish Derek Dietrich played shortstop. It'd be an interesting conversation, but cool. He doesn't seem to do that. That is it for this episode of the Yanks Go Yard podcast. God, that was a barrel of laughs. I had a fun time. Think about the difference in tonality of our voices when there's actual Yankees baseball versus when we're just doing like Are there any more relievers in the Brewers bullpen who might get DFA'd? I don't know. Are you interested in any of those guys? Not really. Baseball's back in full force. The Yankees are 2-1, a great place to be. Once again, well, actually, they're 2-0 because the wins count and the loss doesn't count. Loss is at spring training. The wins, they're legit. So the Yankees are 2-0. They played three games. That's awesome. We are going to be back on Friday. Make sure in the meantime to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you do get your podcasts. Drop us that 5-star review along with a mailbag question that we discussed earlier. 20% off at Manscaped with the code FANSIDE20, not 25%. Just a reminder. Until next time, I'm Adam Weinrib. You can find me on Twitter at Adam Weinrib.
And I'm Thomas Carinante. You can find me at Tommy's_takes. As usual, in the meantime, please head over to YanksGoYard.com. We're creating content for you every day of the week. Also, interact with us on the official Yanks Go Yard Twitter account at Yanks Go Yard FS. There is simply not enough discourse at this point. I don't know what's going on. We were getting flamed like a month ago for some takes. Now spring training's here. We're talking about a multitude of things and no one's saying anything. It's weird. I want to hear more of it. Please come and talk to us. Until then, though, we'll see you on Pizza Friday.
Oh, baby. We'll see you.